Genesis chapter 19. And as you're turning there, we are going to make a few announcements. This coming up Tuesday night is Ladies Auxiliary. And what that is when the ladies of the church, they get together, they have some food, they fellowship, they do different things. But we would love, if you're a lady and you'd like to be a part of that, ladies only, you know, you're welcome to come and love for you to be a part of that. And also there is a youth meeting here January the 9th. I don't know where July come from. We ain't there yet. I hope not. Amen. January the 9th, I believe that would be this coming up Friday, if I ain't mistaken. And if I misquoted, just fix me later. Amen. And also tonight we are having after service. We're having a baptismal. And Brother Richard and Sister Rachel is going to get baptized. And they feel like ready to make that step. So if you feel like, and also I meant to make the announcement earlier, but if you feel like you've given your heart to the Lord recently and you want to take that step and get baptized while the water's in there, you're welcome to come and do it. And if not, we'll do it another time. Amen. Just want to make sure we take it seriously and do it. And I'm proud of them. Glad they're doing that. God's so good. And that'll be tonight after service. So, Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. One more announcement. Right after service, we are having our first Sunday fellowship dinner. So that'll be right after service today. So if you're here, stay and eat. And I've got free food for you. And God'll just bless the fellowship. Amen. If you're there at Genesis 19, just give me a good amen. All right, this is what it says in verse 24. Genesis 19 and 24 says this. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as smoke of a furnace. Amen. Very familiar reading here in the Bible. Genesis chapter 19. Many of us have probably heard about that. Sodom and Gomorrah and that great destruction there for the things that were taking place in that city. But I want to preach to you today, if God will help us out of these verses of Scriptures and others, selected Scriptures, I want to preach to you on the expiration date of mercy. The expiration date of mercy. And this is a message I felt God deposit into my heart this week and really feel today. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm reaching for somebody in this service to, if you haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm reaching for you to do that. I'm just going to be honest with you. And if you're not saved, and if you are saved and feel like you're backslidden or feel like you are backsliding in that process of giving up on the Lord, I would that this service you would tighten your grip up. Amen. On the expiration date of mercy. We all understand what an expiration date is. It is basically and simply a date that is printed on a package of food or drug products that indicates that after this time that it should not be used. You also find an expiration date on something called a credit card. Ever heard of one of those? Amen. In 2014, that we have credit cards nowadays. Not everybody, but there's an expiration date even on debit cards and credit cards that allows you to know that after this certain date, it is no longer being able to be used. It is no longer any good. And most of us today, as soon as I mention the word expiration date, you probably think of milk. I don't know if you do, but any time I look in a refrigerator and about to drink some milk, it's just by habit. I'm looking in there, I'm going to say, when does this go out? Amen. I've been fooled a few times and just thought that milk, you know, I thought the milk was good maybe. You drank and said, oh, that is nasty. Amen. And because I have a great-grandmother who's passed on and gone on with the Lord, but to her, milk never got bad. Amen. The expiration date didn't mean anything to her. And she would say, well, that ain't too old. And I would say, well, Mom would say, you can have it then. Amen. So we know what an expiration date is. It is that stamp or that printing on a product that indicates that it should not be used or it is no more good after a certain time and after a certain date. And we come to the book of Genesis. I'm going to tie all this together in a little bit. But Genesis chapter 19 in the Bible is one of those chapters in the Bible where God is forced to deal with the people who has allowed themselves to sink to the deepest depths of sin without restraint, saved. And in Genesis 19, it describes this wholesale destruction of what we can best determine five cities and multiple thousands of people. These passages explain what God reduced a whole entire valley by His judgment. He reduced a whole entire valley to a salty pit of rocks and dust. And to this day, that very sea, the Dead Sea, cannot sustain life. It cannot even to this day, after all them years, it's so low in sea level and the density and the salt, all these different things. When God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, He gave that to us as an example that we can look at and live by and know that God has an expiration date on His mercy. Hear me today, friend. I want you to take God serious as I am preaching. I'm not just preaching this because I feel like doing it or because I have nothing else to preach. There's a lot of messages I desire to preach that'll make you smile. You know, the title will look good on a CD, will look good on the internet. But today I am treating you, asking you, all of us in this room today, we need to learn to take God serious at His Word. We know when we read in Genesis 19, Lot and his family did not take God serious until they nearly lost their lives, their possessions, because they did not take God serious when God spoke to them through them angels. And I've heard people say before, why would a God that is loving, why is a God that is merciful and kind and just, why would He do something such as destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain? I'll tell you why He did it. It's because His mercy has an expiration date on it. Amen. Now we're going to preach here. I just want you to listen to me. When we come to dealing with God, instantly, A.W. Tozer said this, the old fame writer, says this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is probably one of the most important things about us. And what he was saying was this, what comes to your mind when you think about God? What enters into your thought pattern? What is injected into your mind when you say the name God? You know, most people instantly, they think of God like this. They instantly go to His attributes and they say, you know, the Lord, He is merciful. We know He is love. We know He is eternal. We know that He is infinite. We know He is immeasurable. We know that He is all-knowing. We know that He is all-powerful. He is good, merciful, wise, compassionate, patient, long-suffering. He is immutable. He is sovereign. He is holy. He is righteous. All these things are attributes of the God of heaven. And it's an amazing thing. All of them are true and all of these are wonderful, but the list is incomplete. We cannot just say, look, I love the grace of God and the mercy of God without understanding that the very same God also has an attribute called divine justice. It is something in Him where He has to draw a line, where He has to lay down rules, where He has to lay down guidelines. Our God does not save us. He does not bring us into this wonderful, marvelous light and relationship with Jesus just so we can go about and do everything we want to do. God has limitations. He has boundaries. And we must understand there is also in the attributes of God divine justice. We use it, most people, not everybody, and not all the churches in the world, but there's a lot of churches who prefer to avoid this theological principle that God's tolerance and patience has a limit. Amen. We love to think of unlimited mulligans in life, you know. Always getting a redo. Always getting to do a start over. And look, in the grace of God, I've been shocked myself. God is merciful and graceful. He's been more merciful and graceful to me. He's far exceeded my mind. He's far exceeded my expectations. I still stand here today and say, I don't know how I'm behind this pulpit and how I'm saved, because that is the mercy and the grace of God. But we also cannot eliminate or try to scratch out or delete in our minds that God has boundaries and God has limitations, and there are times when God's mercy has enough and there's an expiration date and there's a certain line that is crossed. Now, when we think about this, most people prefer to avoid this. But the truth is today, God's mercy comes with an expiration date. There are occasions when God says, that is enough, that's it, no more. Amen. God has done that repeatedly throughout history. He's done it again and again. He's given us examples. And here today, before we can move forward into this, we first must understand what God's mercy really is. That mercy there, that word mercy there is a noun. It's a plural noun. Mercy and mercies. We understand you can quote it two different ways. But that means compassion or forgiveness being shown towards somebody who is within one's power to punish or harm. What mercy is today is when somebody that has the ability or the power to execute some sort of authority or judgment or harm on you, but they say, you know what? You may deserve this, but this is what I'm going to give you. Instead of punishing you, I'm going to forgive you. That is what mercy is. And believe me today, prayer, everybody in this room today, it doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, how tall, how short, where you were born, anything, everybody in this room today, you are a recipient of God's mercy in some form, in some way. All of us here today, all of us are recipients of God's mercy. If you're saved today, guess what? You're a recipient of His mercy. If you're unsaved today, you're still drinking in His mercy and you may not even know it. Amen. Did anybody ever recall God's mercy when they were a sinner? My word, I remember one time I had gotten so drunk in my sinful days. Amen. Amen. I was so drunk, and I remember one night I left a party, and I was at that party, and I remember sitting down to a young man named Dan. We called him. He had a twin brother named George, and I talked to Dan, and me and Dan. I left that party that night, and I don't remember too much. I was so intoxicated. I remember waking up on the side of the road at times with my vehicle in park. But Dan left that same party that night. He hit a cement culvert going 100 miles an hour. Went to the same party, drank the same alcohol. But I can stand here today and say this, I was a recipient of God's mercy even when I was lost. I remember getting the phone call the next day, and even at that time, being such a hardened sinner, I did not fully comprehend that God's mercy was upon me that night, but that could have been the night I went into eternity. So you may be sitting here this morning, you may not be born again, but God's extending His mercies to you. They're there sitting beside you. They were with you when you woke up this morning. But let me caution you today, friend. Let me caution you today, sinner, His mercy has an expiration date. That night I received mercy. Daniel did not receive mercy. There's an expiration date to His mercy, friend, and you need to understand this. Amen. We think of this, God's mercy, the major difference in the mercy of the life of the believer and the mercy in the life of the sinner is that the believer appreciates God's mercy. Amen. I'm happy today because I received it. Amen. Can anybody say, I've received that mercy? Amen. That makes me happy. I am a recipient of that. I am appreciative of that. But how about that sinner there? They sit there, they drink in the mercies of God every day, and they very seldom pray. They very seldom, because the Lord wouldn't hear unless they're repenting anyhow. But here today, they don't say thank you. They're not appreciative of God's mercy. So if you're saved today, I want to encourage you, those that are born again, God's mercy is unlimited to you. You're able to walk into His mercies that are fresh every morning, that are good every day. You're able to say, yesterday I had His mercy, and today I have His mercy, and if I stay in Christ, tomorrow I'll have His mercy. The sinner cannot say that. Amen. Hey, if you're lost here today, you cannot guarantee yourself mercy will be available tomorrow. You are not guaranteed that mercy will be available when you leave this church today. You do not have that guarantee. If you die lost, you will go to a sinner's hell. But listen today, if you're born again, when you die, you don't die lost, because God's mercy will transport you from this world to another. That's what God's mercy is. I'm living in it. I'm drinking it. I'm basking in it. My friend today, sinner, I'm telling you to come in, because the water is great. The waters are fine. God's mercy are fresh and new every day. And He wants you to experience them in the fullness. Amen. We must understand today that mercy is something that is so perfect and so divine that nobody in their mind can really understand it. There was a lady one time that was going through a severe depression. I forget all the details. And it was a holiness lady. And she was going through a severe depression, and she really was getting down on herself. I forget all of the different things, all of the different tragedies and circumstances that surrounded the situation she was in. But I will tell you this, she had a very miserable plight. She was in a very miserable miserable state of mind. And she remembered one day she felt like that the Lord, she just felt like in her mind, she said, Lord, I feel like you're a million miles from me today. I'm going through this. Lord, I'm not doubting you. Lord, I'm not one day questioning you. But God, I want you to show me your blessings. I need something in my life. And this lady asked the Lord, God, can you show me your mercy? Can you let me have a glimpse of your mercy, Lord? And she said, instantly, she said, in the spirit, there she was praying, the Lord showed her what the mercy of God was. She said, instantly in that vision, she had a vision of Jesus standing just like this, hands to the side. And she said, Lord, that's not what I pictured your mercy to look like. Shouldn't it be reaching towards me? Shouldn't it be extended towards me? And the Lord spoke to her heart again and said, why don't you take a closer look? And this lady said, as she looked a little bit closer, she said she looked behind Jesus. And behind Jesus, she felt like she seen a multitude of demons. She seen a multitude of devils behind them. And Jesus was standing there. He was keeping them at bay. He was holding them back. He said, that is what my mercy is. He said, these dead enemy desired to destroy you a long time ago. Spirits designed to rip your mind apart and get you to commit the most horrible sins. But I'm telling you, my mercy is here today. I'm keeping the enemy at bay. I'm not allowing it to happen. Hear me today, friend. I'm telling you today, God's mercy is here today. You say, look, I am lost. I don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, His mercy's in this room. He's keeping back the enemy. The devil wanted you yesterday, but Jesus said no. The enemy wanted you last year, but mercy said no. The devil decided for you to be in hell today, for you to be tormented, overdosed, or destroyed, but mercy says no. Hallelujah. Mercy is wonderful. Mercy is God's gift to you. You know, the world wants to make mercy seem like it's pathetic. I'm telling you, mercy is wonderful. There's nothing like living in the fresh mercies of God every single day. But now that I've described to you how beautiful mercy is, let me describe to you the tragedy of when mercy expires. When mercy is, can you just picture with me today, mercy doing everything it can to reach out to the sinner? Can you picture your mind as mercy as sitting there and wanting to reach you and wanting to do something? But can you picture mercy as it enters up to a fenced-in area and there you've got the door bolted? You will not let mercy in. That's what it is for the life of the sinner. Mercy's reaching for you, but you've got to open the door. Mercy's saying, let me in, but you've got to unbolt the door. Mercy is calling out to you today. I'm telling you that mercy is not always guaranteed to be doing that for you. We read in the Bible, there were occasions when God said, no more mercy. Times when God's mercy was withdrawn. And I would say that, you know, you say, when is that for me, Brother Derek? Only God knows. I'm not one of those that'll draw a line for anybody. I've heard people say so-and-so's cut off. I said, who told you that? Does God cut people off? I believe so. But it's in the hands of God and not in the hands of a preacher. It's not to be commanded at will. So here today, if I was to take anybody in this room through a graveyard, I could probably point to you tombstones with dates on them of ages of all kinds. From the infant to the elder. From the child to the adult. From the teenager to the people in midlife. I could show you multitudes of people in America who some of them are gone to be with the Lord. But there's also testimonies in graveyards and cemeteries of people where God simply said, my mercy cannot reach them. And it withdrew. What I want you to understand today is this. We must understand that it is in God's divine justice that He can look at anybody in His divine knowledge and He can say no more. You say, Brother Derek, why would God do this? God's mercy has limits because His justice has demands of satisfaction. If evil is never held accountable, if sin is never punished, why would God lay down rules? God would not be just. If the Lord did not establish rules and never enforce them, what would be the purpose of the rules? There has to be enforcement. There has to be judgment. I read in the Bible of some different accounts as we move forward. My first example today is this. God's mercy expired in Genesis chapter 6. The Bible says this, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He made man on the earth, and it grieved Him to His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I had created from the face of the earth. This is that time we know, that at that time when the world grew so wicked, we know that God would send a great flood that would wipe out multitudes of people except for Noah and his family. But it says here, it got to the place, it got to the limits, it got down to where God looked down from heaven. He looked down and He said this. He said, and it repented the Lord that He made the man of earth, because the wickedness of man was great. Rebellion of those who created in His image was so great that God said, I cannot bear it any longer. Hear me today, church. Everyone in this room, please listen. Everyone in this room today, you're created in the image of God. Don't take that lightly. Do not feel that, I'm just nobody, and it doesn't really matter what I do. I wasn't raised in this, or I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, so I am not as accountable as others. Or some people could say, well, you don't understand, Brother Derek, my mother, my father, my family situation. I'm telling you today, I'm not addressing the situations, I'm addressing you as an individual. You're in the image of God. And you've got to protect that. You must facilitate that. When God looked down, He said every imagination and thoughts of the heart. He was saying every imagination, the thoughts of the heart, the seal of the affections and emotions of their mind. Their heart was evil, deceitful, and disrespectfully wicked. The principles were corrupt, and their habits and dispositions were evil. And He said, I'm looking at that. And He said, it bothers me to the place I have to judge it. When the Bible says that the Lord, it repented the Lord that He made man, you look that word up in its proper context. It means the Lord sighed. You ever sighed at something? You ever done that before? Has anybody ever bothered you so much that you sighed? Amen. There's some people that I've had to be around before. And before I walk into the room, I'll go, Lord, help me. Amen. Doesn't mean I don't love them. But it does mean I'm about to enter into a situation I know that's not going to be the most wonderful thing. When the Bible says it repented the Lord that He made man, it means God looked at the situation and He said, but not in a comical form. He did it because His heart was shattered. Have you ever been so heartbroken that you sighed? The death of a loved one. The news, tragic news, enters your ears and you go, oh my gracious. I'm telling you, friends, here, this is what the Scripture in context implies to us. It meant that he actually sighed. He breathed out. It grieved his heart. It vexed him. He felt it. It displeased him. I'm telling you today, friend, if you're a sinner in this room today, I'm telling you the Lord's looking at you. You're making His heart hurt. You're making Him sigh in anguish. He's saying to Himself, I want to reach Him. I want to deal with Him. I want to save with Him. I want something to take place. I want to extend mercy to them. But they won't listen. I'm telling you today, I feel the Spirit of God in this room. God's mercy has an expiration date on it. Do not feel that the mercies here today will always be there. Here God's looking down from heaven, and we know that He's sighing in the Bible. Notice here it says in verse 5, it mentioned that in verse 5 of that chapter there, and notice it mentioned the heart of man and the imaginations of it was evil. But then in verse 6 it says the heart of God was vexed. We have a picture here of the heart of God and the heart of man. When the heart of man is sinful, God's heart is always vexed. When the heart of man is sinful and separated and darkened and will not let the glorious light of this gospel come in, the heart of our God, it vexes Him. And I'm going to ask you today, how long do you expect Him to bear that vexation? How long? We look in the Bible, there's another example in Genesis that I read to you. God's mercy expired in Genesis chapter 19. We know in Sodom and Gomorrah with sins of pride and all these different things and other sins that are listed along with homosexuality. We know that in Genesis 19, God said no more. When Sodom's sin had reached his limits and the cup of iniquity was full to overflowing, when the cesspool of filth had begun to overflow, the infection was in place. When God looked down in His divine wisdom and thought to Himself, there is no cure. They will not turn to Me. I cannot help them. God's expiration date on His mercy ran out. The Bible says this about Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. As I was studying this, I'm telling you, I felt God just deposit this into my heart. I asked the Lord, Lord, when do You know somebody is at the place? When do You know, Father? Lord, in Your divine knowledge, when do You know when to just let go of them? I was reading this verse of Scripture. It said, and the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grievous. There's either a cry of righteousness coming out of your heart, a cry and a plea for God's mercy, a cry and a plea for the Lord Jesus Christ to help you, even if you're not perfect, just for God to make you better, to sanctify the heart. We're constantly, as a Christian, you're constantly pleading for the Lord to help you. I don't know if you do, but I do. If you quit pleading for Him, you've gotten self-righteous. I always ask God, Lord, help me make it another day and do Your will. God, help me, Lord, another day. God, I come to You, and I know, Father, You look at me, and I'm nothing but old human, but saved by grace, Your mercy is upon me. God, but what can I do today? I plead for You to help me. But when the cry of sin and wickedness and unrighteousness and pleasure drowns out the cry of God in your heart of God's righteousness, you're entering into a level of reprobate mind. Not saying God can't deal with you, but you're screaming for the unrighteous things. You're screaming for sin. It gets to the place God does not hear your cry for mercy. It's almost like an infected wound that is never bandaged up. Isaiah 1 and 5 gives us this picture of Israel. Why should you be stricken anymore? You shall revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. It's like an infectious wound that you will not take care of. When does it get to the place? I insert again, only God knows. But I will insert this. If you know the truth and you reject it, if you know the ways of God and you tell God to leave you alone, be careful how many times you say it. He may say amen and let you have your way. Brother Derek, what do you know of this? I know from experience. I know from faith. I'm telling you, friends, if there's one thing I know of a young boy right here that pushed God to the limits, I feel like. There was a message in tongues and interpretation that was given one service. I was sitting in that service, hair down to my nose, just as rebellious. I told Mama, I hate church, I hate the pastor, and I hate you. I'm going because I've got to. I sat in that service, and I'll never forget it. The Holy Ghost demanded. The Holy Ghost dealt. I was under so much conviction. I told the Lord, if I cry in this service, this is the last time. I went 2 years without shedding a tear. I felt them welling up in my eyes, and I gripped my teeth. I said, I ain't going to no altar. My grandma, I can't say she always used wisdom, but she came back there. And she said, you're going to die and go to hell. Excuse me if she didn't say it maybe that bluntly, but she insinuated everything she was meaning in her voice. She was saying, you need to go up there and pray. And I can't remember all that was said, and forgive me if I misinformed in any. I know she came back there and said, you need to go up there. And she insinuated now. So I went up there. Did I pray through? I didn't even pray. I just did it so they'd leave me alone. I pressed God to the limits. I felt at times I touched the borders. I felt at times I even went places. Even after I got born again, I was so tormented. And people, and for individuals that never went through any drug addiction, that never went through a life, maybe I could tell you some stories that maybe blow your mind about me. And I don't desire to do that. And don't begin to wonder. I'm just telling you, for somebody that came from where I was to where I got when I got saved, just instantly, I'm telling you, everything wasn't perfect overnight for me. I felt like I was still touching the borders. I tell the Lord, I'm going to serve you, but Lord, I can't do it. I'd go another day. All habits would try to formulate in our minds. I'm telling you one time, many different stories I could tell you, but I remember the service where God arrested me and would not even let me off the floor. I could take you to the spot, Wilson, North Carolina, Brother Urban Lewis is the pastor now. I was standing up in the choir loft. I had already made my mind up that service. I cannot do it. I will never forget it. The power of God hit me so strong, and you can believe what you want to believe. This is my testimony. The power of God hit me so strong, I went underneath that choir bench, something like these. I laid on my face, and I could not get up. The Holy Ghost spoke to me just as purest words I ever heard in my life and says, you will not go back. I got up and I said, I will not go back. I believe to this day, if I left that service and went through with the plans I already had in my mind, I believe God's mercy would have expired. Could it be this day? Maybe your encounter would be different. God does not guarantee to speak to everybody in that form or in that fashion. But could it be today that somebody in this room, God is dealing with your heart? You know enough of the truth. You know enough of the things of God. Maybe God is dealing with your heart and saying, I want you to be a recipient of my mercy today. Please don't say, Lord, tomorrow. Please do not say that. We must understand this, that God's mercy also expired in Daniel chapter 5. This is what it says in Daniel 5 and 25. And I'm just going to read it to you real quick. You know the story fairly well. It's about that man named Belshazzar in the Bible. We know that there he is. He is now the king. He's having a feast for 1,000 people there. And all of a sudden, here it is, Belshazzar. He's drunk. And he says, go to the temple. Get those things that we have stolen from the house of the Lord. Bring them in there. We know the story that all of a sudden there was handwriting on the wall. All of a sudden the handwriting came on the wall. It scared everybody. Belshazzar said, get me a man that can interpret this. Long story short, guess who ends up in the court again? Daniel. Here Daniel is, and we know that he interprets, and I'm not going to try to say it, and because it's written in another language. Amen. But we know that simply what it says is this, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Hear me today, friend. What he was saying is this, my mercy has expired. Let me tell you what the Holy Ghost is wanting to, why He dealt with me. I've never preached this before, never studied it in this mindset. But God's mercy has an expiration date on it, as my wife comes to the piano. When he spoke to Belshazzar and said this, thou art weighed in the balances. He was telling Belshazzar, please listen to me. Sometimes we don't let's not lose focus here at the altar call. Belshazzar, the Lord told him that you are found wanting. You are weighed in the balances. Belshazzar was weighed in the balances of justice and truth. And on the other side of that, we know that God dealt with him and told him, you are found wanted. You are something inside of you that outweighs the cry of mercy in your life. Brother Bruce, can you turn the recording off just for a second? I want to tell a story that's... I just don't want it to get on the...